I woke up this morning at like 7 a.m. It was really hot and humid here in Los Angeles. And I had been woken up from a very, very strange dream.
Am I going to like where this is going?
It was clean. Well, it was kind of clean. I was being arrested in my dream.
That's not clean.
Well,
that's not clean, baby.
I didn't give you actually all the facts of the dream. So I'm driving my car. I had done something possibly illegal, but I can't remember the fact that it's a little vague. The dream's a little vague. But okay. The car had like, you know, an OnStar system in it, and OnStar took over the car. So I couldn't control it anymore.
Wait, so you were driving Kit from Knight Rider.
So OnStar took over the car. I couldn't drive it anymore. So I jumped out of the car while it was still moving.
Was the car talking to you in the OnStar voice?
I don't remember. It may have been.
Things
get vague, you know, as time goes on. But so I jump out of the car and a police officer comes and gets me, and it is Snoop Dogg.
I'm with you.
So Snoop Dogg is the cop, and he gets some handcuffs on me, and then the other police officer starts walking forward, and it turns out to be this actress, Candy Alexander. I don't know if you know who that is.
Yes.
She's an awesome actress. And it took a turn for the strange. Like, I'm laying on the ground.
Wait. It took a turn for the strange after Snoop Dogg and Candy Alexander walked up to you.
I was lying on the ground and she was going to lie down next to me to arrest me or something. And then I got woken up. I don't know. And then it ended. So we'll never know.
I think I saw this movie where the police officer came to lay down next to the perp to arrest him. And then something strange happened. What is wrong with you, sir?
I don't know, man. It was hot, humid filled sleeplessness. I don't know.
And the funny thing is, you woke up and the air conditioning was on, so it wasn't the room that was making it hot and humid.
Ba-dum-bum.
Your dream, man. Whatever.
I just shared that with the Tech Bacon universe.
With the world. Yes.
Unfortunate.
Okay, Snoop. So welcome to Tech Bacon, guys. I'm Brian.
I'm Scott.
And thank you for joining us this week for episode 23. Indeed.
23.
Big 23.
Really not any significance to that number. Not well, lucky 23. Not, I don't know. Any sports players have 20? Michael Jordan, 23, right?
There you go.
Okay. This is the Michael Jordan
episode. We're kicking it like Jordan.
MJ.
That's right.
There you go.
Yeah, because we're both.
My hometown hero.
And you're not a basketball fan, are you?
Well, I'm a Chicago fan. That's inherently, I'm a Chicago sports fan.
Okay, there we go.
There's no way around it.
Right. Fair enough.
Hey, man, I grew up in the days of Jordan in Chicago. I got to see him play many times. It was pretty amazing. What, very cool thing.
Yeah, we actually went and
You
saw Bulls. Okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. That was something I've not experienced anything like that.
I mean, it wasn't as cool as the Golden State Warriors games that we were able to see in Northern California where I grew up.
Well, of course, right. I mean, Michael Jordan and, you know, whatever.
Chris Mullin, baby.
Right, Chris. I think, wasn't Chris Mullin in NBA Jam? Wasn't he one of those guys in the NBA Jam game? That's the only way I know of Chris Mullin, I think.
I don't know, but he had a sweet haircut. That's what I remember. Anyway.
Wow, we actually had sports talk on Tech Bacon. Go figure.
You know, football season starts when we actually have more, but.
That's true. That is true. Football season is actually going to start.
Exactly. Thank
See, look at this. Well, exactly. We know a little bit of sports. Little. You know way more than me.
Maybe we can find a way to go and bring in the DirecTV. Online, NFL, iPad.
Oh, yes.
App, just so I can way to justify.
I can get us to test that.
I would like that.
I know people love DirecTV.
Yeah. Since I quit the court, I don't have I can't kick in the Sunday ticket.
That's true. You know, I just, speaking of that, and nothing to do with anything, but when the World Cup, Women's World Cup soccer game was on, it was on ESPN 360 online. I actually pulled it up on my TV in HD. It was awesome.
Very
the
cool.
Full game, full HD. I mean, you have to be a cable subscriber to get it, like all these other services. But
so you pulled it up on your TV in HD.
I'm a cable subscriber.
On your TV that could also watch it in HD on the cable.
Well, no, I don't get ESPN. But
You had.
You're supposed to, but I still was able to log in for some reason.
Right. Hmm. Yeah. It's really so stupid. It's like, that's great that I can go and watch this stuff. We've already talked about this.
Yeah, no, I know.
Just give me the channel a la carte, guys, please. I'll pay
One day,
for it.
The dream. the dream. Brian and I will. There will be a choir of angels singing when that day happens.
The impossible dream that is just the common sense solution for any individual person.
Right.
You guys can't have
somebody
that.
Out there make it happen for us, please.
No, I'd rather buy 500 channels. Anyway, let's not go off on this rant again. Interesting news this week.
Yes.
Indeed. On the TV, on the digital TV front, actually.
A bunch on the TV media front.
Starting with end of last year, holiday season, big initiative announced. Google TV came out. Intel was a partner. Logitech was a partner. Logitech just announced their quarterly results. It ain't been doing so good.
Not good. And when these boxes came out, it was $200 for the Logitech.
I want to say $299. It was expensive. Then they dumped it to $249.
Yeah, it was expensive. So what was – you read that
I read that the
– crazy returns on this thing.
Yeah, right? The returns basically this quarter were apparently larger than the number of sales. So basically people that bought it last quarter and this quarter that then returned it were greater than the number of actual sales
of this quarter. Yeah.
And the Google TV, when it came out, I mean, if you weren't familiar with it at the time, we weren't on the air then. It basically was like it's an additional box to your current TV box, basically, where you'd get it. It would serve your cable box would plug into it, like your other media sources would plug into it.
And it was Dish Network was the only box that actually
had a built
talked
in.
To.
Correct.
No,
yeah.
Like you can plug it in. It was, there well, they was like all a fed data the, cable from the DirecTV box
right.
to the
– everything else you just fed into
right,
the
exactly.
video signal
yeah.
and the audio signal and it routed it basically. And you could go and use it as a unified search interface. At the time, you thought you were going to go and look at different internet video like Hulu and that kind of stuff. And you have a unified search for what's on TV. And then depending, it would dump you out to the relative source. If it was internet stuff, it would be internal with Google.
Yeah.
If it was if it was your cable box stuff, it would dump you to your cable box and then you would look at it from there.
Right.
And it had an IR blaster to kind of control your other
control
devices.
Control your cable box. Because it wasn't a DVR. So
right.
you would have to control your DVR.
Exactly.
It was dependent on another
And device. It also had a keyboard and a mouse to kind of function with
web
it.
Web browsing and all this stuff and blah, 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 blah.
Interesting idea.
What?
Interesting
was.
Problem to go and solve. Never really seemed to catch on. And
no, it didn't take off. It made a splash and then kind of just seemed to disappear.
Yeah, and there was supposed
to be anything about it.
It was supposed to be a platform. There was supposed to be apps for it. There was all this promise that never really materialized. They're lowering the price of the device itself to $99 now. So they're taking a loss on everything. They've got executives leaving the company now in response to it. Who's like, I think the CEO was a big proponent of it. He's getting on the way out. And it speaks to this problem how do you tackle the living room? Really?
Yeah, and when you think about what's out there for $99 boxes, right? For a $99 box, you have the Roku box, you have the Apple TV, you have Boxy. They have a box that you can buy. So all of those let you watch Netflix or watch all those. The Google TV didn't have any of that.
Yeah. Well, there's the – if you had applications, there were possibly different ways to deliver content there. But once it basically became a portal to web stuff only and Hulu blocked it and ABC.com
Everybody
blocked it.
There you was couldn't access any of the video stuff on your TV and that was the allure of something like this.
So all it became was basically a way to go and search your current content,
search
the web, and then maybe have apps when that materialized.
Right.
And that has not – Google has hasn't delivered any OS revisions to Google TV.
Yeah.
It's just kind of languished here. It's
one of those instances where – I wonder if Google they didn't actually have a long-term plan for this.
This is going to sound very anti-Google. It's not, because I think it's a good strategy. I feel like with a lot of their products, though, what they do is there's an idea that needs to be solved, right? And they have some good ideas, and they release a product. Oftentimes, it's in beta. And they'll put it out there, and maybe it won't be a completely refined solution, but it's like there's a good start towards it. And they put it out there. They hope to get lots of people to adopt it, and through that input from people using it, and also hopefully a critical mass gets reached where more people start using it. It kind of takes off that way,
Right.
Gmail is kind of similar. Android is very similar, and oftentimes it does work. But in this case, there was no real clear added value that the device provided. So it really – there was no reason for it to get any adoption in the first place. Therefore, there's no leverage for them to say to content creators, no, you should bring your stuff here. And they went abandon it as an app platform. Just nothing has just happened whatsoever. I've never really been sold on apps on a TV as anything other than content delivery. Facebook, Twitter, that kind of stuff. To me, it doesn't make sense. If you have to have a keyboard and a mouse – if you think you have to have a keyboard and a mouse, it's already DOA in my opinion.
Right. I mean I can see – I don't know. I don't know.
Well,
I've kind of revised my thoughts on that. recently.
Yeah.
You know, like I was all for it kind of because I do have a computer hooked to my TV and I do use Google on it and I will search for stuff sometimes, but I don't do it that much.
Mm-hmm.
However, apps or content such as specific search features like an IMDb or something like that, I think would be nice to have up on the TV. Like that kind of information accessible. Let's say you're watching a show. And then you can hit a button and bring up the IMDb credits and all of that stuff or search for a certain actress in whatever movie you're watching, you know, a little overlaid on the thing and see what it is. That would be pretty interesting.
But as to me, the more interesting solution for that kind of thing is I'm watching TV and I have an application on my phone or tablet that interacts with it somehow, either by, you know.
But you still have to look down. You know,
right? But that's what I'm saying.
You're just watching it. And
well, that's
it comes
what I'm saying. I would
around the side.
I don't want something, you know, interfering with my TV watching experience. I want to go something. I want additional information.
But you're interfering because you're looking away.
But I can control that. You know, I can pause it. I can. You know, to me, it seems like I want. For me, it's like that TV. You know,
like occasionally I'll be watching something on because I have the Boxy application on my computer that I watch TV shows on, and occasionally I'll bring up the synopsis of the show while I'm watching it. Which you can do with Boxy. And it's actually – I do it often.
Well, you can do that with a DirecTV or any kind of normal cable box too. I know in DirecTV stuff you could at least.
Can not? Oh, yeah. I guess you can. Yeah. I guess that's true. Yeah. But I mean there's times when I mean I'll do it on my phone. I will look up an actor or an actress or whatever. And I would use it if it was up on the screen.
Yeah,
I would do that.
That does make sense. But that's in terms of like a broad – that's a really, really specific use.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's
in terms
what
of
I'm
like
talking
a,
about.
A broad idea for like a platform, web browsing, that kind of stuff, it just doesn't seem very well suited for it. And I really think – we've had this conversation before. I'm such a big believer in television being a specific experience, almost a passive experience where you're up there to unwind. You don't want to necessarily engage the way you do with your computer screen when you're at work all day. And people like to go and, you know, do other things, like to multitask, obviously, when they're doing their TV on their laptop, on their tablet, on their phone, search the web, all that kind of stuff. But you want that one portal to kind of be just about delivering content because that way it's relaxing. If I have to go and have, you know, like I said, you know, the Google TV stuff, you need some sort of like, you know, mouse or, you know, trackpad combo thing to make it work.
Right.
Keyboard. That to me just seemed – that seems like work to me.
Like,
where I think there's interesting ways to go and integrate, though, with the devices we already have that maybe are better suited. And also those devices, you have like a tablet or a phone, right? That interface also is better suited for interacting with something on your TV as well.
Sure. And well, I think the big mistake I think they made goes to what you were saying is that they put the search and web at the forefront of it. I think it's okay if that's just kind of an additional feature that some people won't use, some people will, but it's there if you want it. But that's not the main focus, you know? Like, why not have web searching there? Okay, fine. But as long as that's not the draw. If that's not the thing, it doesn't hurt.
But then, I mean,
you know?
Then what is the point of the product?
The point is to do an Apple TV or do a Roku.
But that's not what their strategy was. Their strategy was to provide a unified search. Yeah.
That was the mistake.
Because I think that actually is what is great about the Google TV in concept. Like the Apple TV right now, you have iTunes rentals, you know, for movies, for TV, and you have Netflix and stuff. And you also have MLB and NBA subscriptions. And all of these things within the Apple TV are discrete silos. If you have to go to thing to thing – Apple TV needs unified search. That was the thing I thought that was really good about Google TV when I played with it briefly.
Right.
UI-wise, it worked well. It was pretty. It seemed geared – it was the right solution for that part of the problem.
Right.
You know, but it's almost like that can't – it's not the time yet for that to go and be an external box. It needs to go and be built into –
it shouldn't be your
box.
DVR or
it needs
your
to be,
TV
include
or
everything. And I know their strategy long term was to go and get on boxes as they got reading on those Sony TVs. The Sony TVs never really sold.
Right.
Ultimately, it's not in the best interest probably of cable companies to go and have Google TV on there because it undercuts them in terms of internet services.
Right.
So it's almost like – once again, good ideas – kind of okay execution, but not really thought out well enough to really work. And when it didn't catch on, it feels like they've kind of walked away from it.
Right. And what's happening now, and this is going to actually lead into something else because it's a perfect segue to it, is this so just announced tonight, TiVo announced that they're coming out with their interface built into, I think it's Insignia TVs at Best Buy. So TiVo, which we didn't actually talk about before, they have a thing called Swivel Search. It's a unified search for Amazon TV, Netflix, everything. It's exactly what you're talking about.
And that's really smart.
And I have it on my TiVo box. The TiVo box I have is older, so it's a little slow and clunky.
Mm-hmm.
But it's cool. You go to the unified search, you type in a TV show and it shows up. And if it's on Amazon, there's a little Amazon icon. If it's Netflix, there's a little Netflix. If it's just on your TV, then it just shows the episode that you can set to record because the TiVo, you know, the IUF is DVR.
Right.
The one these insignias are coming out are not DVRs.
Do you know if they're going to search your normal local TV listings or will it not know?
I think it probably will because it's going to have TV listings built in. So I can't imagine it wouldn't because it does in general.
Right.
It does. I mean, in the normal one, it does. Because
right. The TiVo one serves as your DVR normally, does it not?
It does.
Okay.
But this will have search listings, so it probably will bring that up. Now, it doesn't – it's strange that they're doing it, actually. I guess if you think of moving away from DVR in general, then it makes more sense, you know? Like, if you wouldn't use – like, imagine, Brian, you, cord cutter – had this on your TV.
You say that like it's a dirty word.
No, cord cutting's great. But you can get you can search your Netflix, you can search your Amazon, you can, you know, look at everything you wanted to do. It would be the perfect thing to use.
So I was reading some stats on these TVs.
Yeah. I mean, the brand, the companies.
Well, and TiVo, I mean, honestly, TiVo, their interface has historically been so good. I know people that use TiVo boxes, you know, even when they had other boxes at their house, just because the interface was so good.
It's, and still is.
And let's face it, cable boxes are the worst, in my opinion, some of the worst interfaces out there because
they are the
most
worst.
Of them are subsidized and come with your cable subscription. You know, so you never really go buy your own. There's no choice in the marketplace. And so there's no incentive to make a great experience. They're all slow, all clunky, all terrible across the board. It's kind of incredible. How terrible they really are.
The only ones that have been nice are like the Fios and the AT&T UVerse boxes.
And
those are slick interfaces.
And there was one I had on Time Warner Cable.
The Time Warner ones.
Well, this was this was a special one made by Motorola. It had I forget what the –
Moxie?
Yes.
Remember that?
Moxie was really, really good.
Ahead
I really liked Moxie. It was a bit slow. It was Linux, but it was like, I mean,
remember that though? I had that too.
Yeah. It was a little bit slow, but like when it worked well, it worked great. It was the closest thing to TiVo I'd seen on a non-TiVo box.
Yeah.
But other than that, they've been just awful and terrible. Yeah. Bleh. Which is a huge opportunity for some company to come here and make something interesting, which is why this is, you know, providing this, I just went, providing this kind of, you know, way to go and get into all your non-cable TV content is fantastic. And it's a real threat in a sense because, you know, the more services roll out, the more easy they are to get
and
to.
And I think Hulu Plus is part of it. So
that's smart.
I mean, because I know Hulu Plus is now available on the TiVos, so I'm sure it's going to be because it's the interface minus the DVR. It's the same exact software, as far as I can tell.
And these TVs also have a Wi-Fi slot. You can put in a Wi-Fi card for them.
Oh, for connected Wi-Fi. That's interesting.
But it's hard though. Like as long as the only way to until
you're right
you have
though, something
variety,
like that's a real big threat to a TV like that. If a TV like that takes off. You're going to see other TV companies coming out with TV like that. And that is a huge threat to the cable and satellite companies.
Well, and also it's like the same thing too.
Don't you think?
Like, you know, and it's like same with an Apple TV. Like what happens when an Apple TV, then they go in if they add Hulu or if they add HBO, an HBO application.
Right.
Because once again, this whole push, it seems like all this big push has been towards like apps. Like we're going to go and interact in all these new ways. We're not. I mean, once again, I could be totally proven wrong and maybe in 10 years I'll be wrong. But I think TV is about watching content. It always has been.
And stuff like this. You know,
and stuff like this is so smart because it's
very
it's
moving
focusing
towards
on watching content, not on trying to go and, you know, leverage your Twitter stream in there because that's what the kids are doing today.
Right. Right.
You know?
Yeah. And this it does say this is going to have Facebook and Twitter and all that
stuff. I don't know, because all these TVs are having that.
Right. But you know, I've seen those functions and I know people that have TVs that have those. They never use those features. They use the other. They use Pandora and they use everything else.
Media. And like that's the smart
– they don't use that.
Music streaming as well is really, really smart because once again, you want your TV to be your true media center. You know?
Right.
All your sophisticated control, extra information can stuff, we have all these external devices now.
I mean like Google
TV. Those things are primed to interact with these devices. I think that's in fact where it's going to be going is the interaction between your connected TV and your mobile device or your tablet, whether that's an Apple TV and an iOS device or Android TVs or boxes or whatever it is.
I hope Google hasn't given up on this platform because since it's come out, look at the things that Google has now.
Mm-hmm.
Google Music, Google Video Rentals through YouTube. You know, like they're starting to have these media outlets that could easily be part of a Google TV.
I hope they're rethinking.
You know what I mean? Like it's they have the pieces to do it right if they want to.
Well, I'm hoping is the reason they haven't touched it yet is that they've realized they made a miscalculation in what was going to work in that space. And they're going to create something that's more like a Roku or an Apple TV. And they have all the media places now
they
to support that.
And they didn't used to.
And it makes sense. And then, you know, and
they may have hurt themselves, though, branding wise.
Honestly, the Google brand, I feel, is so strong, really. I mean, people that are – most people, regular people, I think never even knew what a Google TV was.
Right. I mean,
all of us look at it and we
– it was like in the holiday season. It was all over the Best Buys and all that stuff.
But do you know anybody that ever bought one?
No, I don't.
Yeah. That's the people who bought it. Like if you knew people that – the people that bought them and returned them, I'm sure they think it's – no, they're like,
well, yeah,
screw that.
Right, of course.
But and we're like, oh my god, that's so embarrassing because one thing about Google, when they succeed huge, and when they flop big.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. But it's like – so we're like, oh my gosh, it's, you know, it's another like, you know, Google wave. Regular people don't care, I don't think.
Right. Yeah, you could be right. You could be right. They could totally rebrand, you know, and relaunch.
And their brand strength is so strong.
And, you know, they still have their partnership with Sony. They could relaunch a whole new line of Sony TVs. And,
you know, and honestly, you know, I think they would be smart to go and release a standalone box. I really think that's where they could go into. They just want to get a presence there with all of their media services. I would be very shocked if we don't see them try to position themselves as more of a media company in the vein of Amazon or Apple in the next year.
Yeah, maybe. Could definitely possible.
And on that note, I'd be really, really surprised if we don't see an Amazon box.
An Amazon box
for your TV. Granted, maybe they want to go and maybe they can just do it through partnerships.
That's what I'm saying. Like, do you think they want to because they have these nice partnerships already?
If they have those, if these tablets come out, there's a lot of stuff they could do to make them really, really interesting and compelling.
I mean, that would be fascinating if they actually came out with a box.
Yeah. I mean, they don't need to, but in terms of they want to go, depending on how they want to evolve their Kindle tablet platform.
Yeah. I mean, they've licensed, you know, the Amazon
is in everything,
is on a lot of things. Yeah. So. And is it sense, necessary?
They probably wouldn't want to compete with those partners, but if their tablets take off,
true,
you know,
true,
they want to go and, you know, have more sophisticated integration.
Yeah,
and I guess they can just always have. I guess they could have a highly sophisticated, you know, Amazon app that gets put into all these TVs. But at a certain point, they're going to roll
maybe
their own.
Yeah, maybe. I wonder.
Interesting too. There's been news coming out about those Amazon tablets. I forget.
It's like
where
little
it was.
Bits and pieces seem to be leaking. You know, as month after month after month until we're going to finally. Maybe
yeah, supposedly October. I mean, just before the holiday season. I think it was TechCrunch.
I mean, it would be very smart if that's when it came out. So smart.
I think it's a done deal. It's just a matter of, you know, what the day that they revealed is.
The date, the name, the
yeah, exactly.
But the I think branding.
They're going to be touchscreen tablets. Obviously, they're going to be. They're not going to be, you know, 10-point touchscreen tablets like Android.
Hearing.
Yeah, exactly. Like Android and like Playbook and all the other ones are. They're going to stick to like I think one or two spots. Right. Which, if they're positioning like you were saying earlier, like just
as a very affordable, cheap media delivery device.
Perfect.
Yeah,
all
that makes sense because you don't need. You don't need those functions.
And honestly, it's really, really smart for them because right now, if you want to go what's the big front that all the other tablets are losing to Apple on right now?
Well, what do you mean?
And what their devices offer. Applications.
Oh, apps. Yeah. Yes.
So basically, if Google basically says for now,
we don't care about
apps. We're not even going to worry about that.
Yeah, it's not about apps.
We don't care that
here's our video player.
Yeah, we're not even going to go and bother making like a piano simulator for you to go and play with your kid. Go.
It's not what it's for.
Yeah, go get an iPad for that.
Not what it's for.
You want to go and watch media for a plane trip? Boom.
Sign up for Amazon Prime and here's your $100 tablet.
Yeah.
Right?
Perfect.
I mean,
which is really, really smart for them because that's leveraging their strength. You know, they're not going to try to compete with it full bore. They're going to try to go and eat out the low end and go
like what they did with the Kindle.
Yeah, and go after a certain subset of specific functions.
You know, like the original iPod.
Yeah.
It's a very smart business move.
And it will allow them to go and coexist in the marketplace with the iPad for quite a while because if otherwise
– it's not a competition with the iPad.
Everybody else goes head to head. They get knocked down and the thing's forgotten if it's considered a failure. This they can go and they can eke out, you know – this is like a consumption device, have it go and fuel their, you know, their rental stores.
Uh-huh.
And it makes a lot of sense because people can go and, you know, people have an iPad and a Kindle because they serve, you know, specialized functions. You can go and have an iPad. And if you want this other cheap thing for your kids to watch videos, you still get it.
Yeah. And you're going to get it. You know, what I would hope it would be is obviously movie player, music player.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're smart, the Amazon store.
Well, I think I'd be surprised if they don't because this actually, if they go and
it'd be brilliant,
but them forking their own, you know, there's been a discussion that maybe they're forking, you know, Gingerbread or even like Froyo, different, you know, leg
of
Android,
Android
for their own thing. But if they go and don't worry about apps,
right?
Don't even worry about marketplace necessarily. At first, is make it purely
media consumption.
No, I think
they won't have I don't think they'll have the marketplace on there.
Or you're saying they're not going to have?
No, I'm saying the Amazon.
Oh, I'm saying if they don't worry about even the app store at first, because they don't have to worry about any marketplace.
Oh no, not that store. I'm saying Amazon. The store, not the app store. Amazon to buy clothes, Amazon to buy Amazon.
Gotcha. Because I'm thinking if they don't have to worry about supporting Android apps.
That's what I'm saying.
If they just make it pure consumption, it allows them to do a whole lot more and be a lot more flexible and allows them to go and do more in terms of their forking, figuring out what they want to do.
Yeah. No, I don't think they should, further iterations. At least in the beginning. I think it should just be plain and simple.
Yeah. I mean, basically it would
music,
be
movies.
It would be the music and movies version of the Kindle.
Exactly.
You know,
that's and it probably will be music, movies, and Kindle. You'll probably be able to read books on it.
Do you think they'll brand it as Kindle?
Could be Kindle Media. It could be
Touch. I mean, Kindle Plus.
It's such a good brand name for them now. Yeah. Why wouldn't they?
I think they'd have to
Kindle something or something Kindle.
Yeah,
it would be smart.
Definitely,
it would be very smart. It's so in such a short time has become so well known
and trusted
exactly. And everything. It would. But who knows? But
yeah.
I think it would be smart for them to do that.
The fact that if they are going with that kind of screen, I think that speaks to a lot of what we're talking about. I think that reveals a lot of their intentions with it. I think they're very smart.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait. Can't wait to get my hands on one.
And speaking of Amazon, also last week and this week, they revealed two new content deals for their streaming service. They added NBC TV shows and Universal Movies, I believe. And also CBS shows.
Yes,
there
was a bunch of Universal Movies too.
This isn't like, you know, current stuff like it is on Hulu that's come out the day before. This is similar to what Amazon has. I mean, what Netflix has in their offerings. It's stuff,
It's the back catalog.
It's the back catalog from previous seasons and whatnot. But you, once again, towards these
tablets.
It's
adding a huge amount of content.
You see them going and ramping up what content is available.
Yeah, it's a very big, and it's all part of the Amazon Prime or Instant, Amazon Instant, whatever it's called.
Do you get that for free with Prime?
Yeah.
Okay.
They've merged it into one service, basically.
And Prime, I got to say, I love Prime. I mean, if you go and buy like, you know, five things over the course of the year with Amazon, the Prime pays for itself really, really rapidly.
Yeah. Was it $8 a month?
It's $8
a year.
80 for the year. So yeah, it's under the $8 a month. Yeah.
Yes. Something like that. It's cheap. It's very cheap. Yeah. I haven't really used any of the, I mean, I use Amazon. I've rented HD movies and some TV shows, bought some TV shows off there occasionally. But I haven't used the Amazon Instant stuff. So I don't know what the quality is like. I haven't tried it. I'm curious.
I'm from everything I've heard, it's good. I don't watch any streaming movies on anything other than my TV at this point. So I've never had
opportunity
to do it.
Through the TiVo.
Oh, yeah. So I don't have a device that hooks up to my TV for that. Yeah.
Through the TiVo, it has the Amazon stuff, but it only has the rentals and purchases. It doesn't have that. You can't access that content through.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, probably like
because it's not streaming.
Yeah.
It downloads to your device, to your box.
Gotcha.
So it's different.
Gotcha.
I'm sure future iterations of it will allow that.
Definitely.
But just this for now doesn't. But.
And also in terms of, another company going and introducing new rentals was Walmart, yeah?
Yeah, Walmart, they jumped into the game. And as we were talking about before, just at the same time they jumped in the game, Blockbuster shutting down another 200 stores across the country. I mean, pretty soon they're going to be extinct as stores.
I feel bad, but you told me this and I didn't realize they had 200 stores open left. Like,
no, me neither. It's, they're going away.
Once again, we've talked about this before. It's really, really makes me sad.
You know, it's something that actually, and this is going to a slight tangent, but something we were talking about in the past about just rentals, purchasing going away and rentals being the king of everything is kind of your position on stuff. And it made me think back to way in the past and, you know, movie rentals, that used to be the case.
Yeah.
It used to be actually. What you're talking about, the future used to be the past.
Yeah, you go down to your local VHS store and
buying
pay, like,
the purchase
$100.
Model, yeah, it was $100 for a VHS tape.
Yeah,
and it's so crazy to like when you start thinking about the past of it, you know, and actually looking at what happened, how these greedy companies artificially created this purchase market that didn't exist. You know, it didn't. It wasn't real.
Well, I remember being,
and that's why it was such a bubble, and that's why it's disappeared. It hasn't disappeared, but is disappearing. Because it was never a real.
That's a really good point.
It was something that came to me this week.
Because I remember being a kid, right? And like when Back to the Future came out on video, I wanted it so bad. And I was trying to talk my parents into spending the $99.
Right.
Because every tape cost $99.
Ridiculous.
And so you always wanted to go and you always aspired to own it. You never could.
Right.
And then, you know, prices came down. So you bought a bunch of stuff.
And the only company that did the moderate pricing was Disney. At that time. They would always release. And they would pull them, though. They would release them for a limited time.
Exactly.
Which they still do. But.
Yeah. But you're right. Then like when ownership came around, because I mean, it made sense. Everybody jumped on board, especially with DVD. DVD made sense because it was an archival format. And at least that was like, that was the way they positioned
to produce.
It. Yeah.
But it wasn't necessary. It wasn't, I don't think people were clamoring for that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think it was an art. It feels to me like that whole purchase model for DVDs was an artificially created market. And that's why it's going away so fast.
You know, there was a need for certain things. You know what I mean? Like, you know, movies you watch, you know, over and over again, you know,
and,
like you
said, and that's why movies, they were so expensive.
You know, it was, but like, you know, like you're saying, like you watch all that stuff over and over again. Like, you know, like we talked about this before, like The Godfather, there's certain things you always want to own.
Yes. Yeah.
But there really wasn't a need to go and buy two editions of Dumb and Dumber.
No. And what happened,
especially there wasn't a need to buy Dumber and Dumberer at all.
And here's what happened was rental prices started to go up a little bit. If you remember, they actually started to grow. Not significant amount, but
from $2 to $5.
Right. Okay. So then at $5, or I can buy for 18. It's not a huge gap. So that's why people started buying them. They were buying movies that they would normally rent because the price difference was so little.
Well, it was interesting too, because you saw,
not because they wanted them, because they felt there was an added value to owning a movie they're going to watch once in 10 years.
Well, and also there's a function too of, you know, stores like Walmart and Best Buy that came around, because if you remember, you would go to Blockbuster, yeah, and you at that point, if you wanted to buy a DVD there, it would still be the, you know, the MSRP, right, which would be $25, $29.
Right, right.
But you go see, get the same movie at Best Buy for $18, $17, because yeah, they could buy everything in bulk and then, you know, charge you a lower price. So that itself created like, you know, an artificial incentive to go and push that.
Yeah.
And that honestly helped Best Buy grow a lot, you know, in the 90s.
Absolutely. It was just after we had that conversation the other week, I started thinking about this and just like, how did that get there?
Because
it was never there.
Because you're right. Music has always been ownership, but movies always never have been, because it's a different way.
Even going to the theater is not ownership.
Yeah.
It never was. That never existed. And it just seems like it still doesn't.
And that's, you know, that's so funny too, because it you know, the bubble happened, it popped. They're trying to sell us up on Blu-ray. Tom is trying to sell us up on Blu-ray 3D. And it's like, no, I learned my lesson. That's what everybody says, you realize too. Because like, they, once again, I mean, Hollywood does this a lot, but you go to the well one too many times, you push people a bit too far, then it's like, I'm not going to buy it anymore, because in five months there's going to be another version with a different commentary track with a different documentary that I'm never going
to
watch.
And that's why I kind of see it going back to what it was. It's almost like it's like it was here. It came to this ridiculous place that it really didn't need to ever be, and now it's going to be back here.
There was an interesting graph floating around about 6 months ago about the music industry and about how the huge music sales that we saw the CD kind of bring about were, over the history of the music industry, a massive anomaly. Like, that was not the norm that you're now going away from. That was an incredible, strange anomaly unto itself, created by a number of different factors, obviously, but it's the same kind of idea. Yeah.
Same thing.
It doesn't really make sense. It's, you know, we're not coming down from what we know, what like, oh, this is
the logical step. We're not going down from the logical step. We came to an illogical place.
We're reacclimating to a normal baseline.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting.
And it's interesting too that in this case we have the technology that allows us to go and view the content on the terms we want, and we go back to a place where we don't want to go and buy. We want to go and just watch it as we need it.
Right.
You know, because once again,
and then to buy will be expensive and fine. Exactly. That's what it should be.
Oh, it's so funny. But once again, it's about the technology, the access it provides allows it to go and go back to what the consumer actually wants.
Right, right. Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about that because it was something that came to my head and honestly, kind of a weird thought. I was like, wow, that's so crazy.
And it's the exact same thing we're talking about here with these, you know, with content distribution through apps on TV.
Devices, yeah.
We do not want to buy 500 channels. We want to buy content we want to see. And these things will allow us to do it.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. Same. The cable companies did the same thing.
Yeah.
They gave you a perceived value added by having more channels of crap that you don't want. You know.
You mean you don't like Telemundo Channel 3?
No, but I do really like Telemundo Channel 1.
Okay, good. They're good, it's good programming.
You know, good telenovelas.
Everybody loves the telenovela.
I mean, come on. Seriously, good stuff. Was there anything else? Well, we were going off the Walmart. We don't have to talk about it that much, but Walmart started offering video rentals.
Through Vudu.
Through Vudu, through the Walmart.com site.
Right.
And it's not purchase or anything, download. It's just rentals, straight up rentals, $3.99, $4.99, you know.
The normal price points.
Yeah, normal price point rentals. Interesting, just because they're getting into that game. They're trying to compete. You know what I can see, though? You were talking about Amazon having a box. I can see Walmart having their own box. That would not surprise me, that really? Company. I could see that company doing something like that.
I don't. I guess anything's possible. They're so far away from, like, you know, that is so far outside of their domain in terms of their, you know, skill
set. Remember, they also do, and I don't know how well it does, but it's been around for a while. They do music purchases off Walmart.com too. They have for a long time.
Sure. What is it? Their own?
It's their
engine
own.
Or is there, yeah. It's like, even own. Like the Vudu thing makes sense for them, for me, because I can see them doing it, because Vudu is everywhere. Like, they're gonna, they can sell, you know, devices with Vudu.
Maybe there'll
on
be a
them
Vudu
boxes
or something.
Yeah.
I could see that.
But having their own like hardware, that seems to me a bit of a stretch. And also, well, anything's possible.
Yeah,
what's really curious, I don't know. Right now, Apple TV is still considered a hobby. All this stuff is, you know, selling kind of okay, but not great. Yeah. What is the space going to look like in not even like 5 years, like 2 years?
Yeah, curious.
There's going to be so much shift in this area. And I think, I mean, everybody's been talking about like, you know, living room will be the next, you know, the next thing. I think it is going to be the case. And I think it is going to be apps, but it's going to be content apps. And I think it's going to happen when we're not really expecting it. You know, I think everybody thought this last year was going to be the big push for the living room. It wasn't.
Not yet.
And it's going to kind of sneak up on people like, you know, the next couple of years.
Yeah, definitely could. Definitely could.
And it's going to be like small pieces. It's going to be small pieces dropping. It's going to be an HBO coming or CBS coming to screen.
Well, it's going to take one of those big companies to defect, basically.
Yeah. And I think, honestly, one thing we haven't talked about is Hulu, you know, being up for sale. There have been all kinds of rumors who's going to be buying it. You know, Apple is rumored. I don't think that's good at all. I mean, it makes sense at all.
No.
But I think that kind of Hulu is kind of floundering a little bit. The fact that it's up for sale already is kind of like that is an experiment, maybe not going so well. I think because that is failing, you know, versus what it wanted to achieve, I would not be surprised if we see one of those companies, you know, test the waters now.
Maybe.
You know, in the next couple of years.
Maybe.
You know, because once those content deals expire and it kind of like, hey, what are we going to do? You know, they weren't making money on Hulu. They got to figure something else. They got to figure some other way to monetize it over IP. What are they going to do?
Right. Curious.
You know.
Curious. I don't know. No idea.
Very cool.
I would like to see somebody take the first step.
Yeah,
we'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see.
And browser news. There's some info out of the UK.
Oh yeah, just real quick. Chrome, the Chrome web browser overtook Firefox as the number two browser in the UK. Big news. Right. I mean, that's a big deal. For Chrome has not been around very long, at all, and that's just a sign of things to come.
Yeah, it's a great browser. Like,
it's great browser.
Yeah, I mean, I think it kicks. You know, I haven't played with the new IE. You know, to me, it's like Firefox is great if you're doing development stuff because there are certain things that is just suited for there, and like the expandability of Firefox is better suited in that regard.
Right.
In terms of an everyday browser, especially on any kind of like Windows machine, Chrome just wins hands down. There's not even a contest, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I've started using Chrome, and then I like new Firefox came out, so I switched to Firefox to see how I liked it. I had to go back to Chrome. Yeah. New IE came out, tried to use that. You know, because I like to see if I like one better, and every time I'm back to Chrome.
Yeah.
You just can't beat the speed of that browser.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Everything else feels clunky.
Yeah. The one thing that I have that is drawing me back is, I think I mentioned this last week, online, the new Safari 3.1, I think it is, or is it the newest?
5.1.
5.1, yeah, excuse me. That I'm actually, like, that is speedy. That, to me, is the same kind of experience. Only thing that had been bugging me is that it does not have a unified search and address bar yet.
So strange.
Which, if you go to Safari, you know, there's like the URL bar, then there's a search bar, and like, you know, Google and Firefox and everybody else has that. Does IE9 have it unified as well?
Yeah.
Okay. It's the only one that doesn't have it, which once you get used to that, it becomes maddening to not have it.
Why? You don't want another search bar.
Because your muscle memory becomes hit tab once and start typing, and then it just messes you up. There is an extension, a system like hack, basically, that I found called Omnibar, which we'll put a link to in the search notes, which basically enables a unified bar in Safari 5.1. That for me is now it is yay, happy, fun times, makes me feel warm inside, browser online. Anything other than 5.1 online, though, to me, I think Chrome is still it's the go-to.
They're also promoting the crap out of that browser.
Oh, totally.
Every time you're on a Google page, there's commercials. I mean, do you know any other web browser that has commercials?
Well, I don't know any other browser that's made by an ad server either.
No, well, true. But like, actually, television commercials, like Firefox never did that. You know, they did do media ads, but not TV commercials.
Yeah. Well, those commercials are mostly for Google. Are they for the actual browser?
Because there's Chrome commercials.
There's a number of great commercials.
Yeah, so but they've actually had specific Chrome commercials.
I haven't seen those.
But yeah, they have regular Google ones too and stuff. Yeah. But it's, it's just... Oof.
Yeah, and as a side funny note on the browser stuff, there was a study that came out recently, and I don't know what even instigated this, but it was kind of like tracking.
It's fun though.
Yeah, it was tracking user IQ across browser usage in 2006 and 2011, and long story short, if you are using IE6 or IE7, you may not want to go and talk about it because people are averaging about an 80 IQ, it looked like. But the smarties, the big smarties in the, you know, around the world, we're all using Opera, Camino, and IE with the Chrome frame. So
I use that sometimes.
Yeah.
I have the IE extension in Chrome, so I do use that at times.
Yeah.
Only for certain sites.
But strangely enough, Safari users, higher IQ than Chrome users.
That's interesting. Strange.
Yeah. But I feel like I need to
go. A lot less.
Yeah, I feel. But things, I've tried opera. I do not like opera.
Yeah, I don't like opera either.
Yeah.
Not a fan. But, not a fan. I don't know why. It just doesn't feel right. Right?
Well, clearly we're not smart enough to understand it.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's like in Defending Your Life where Rip Torn is eating the food and he's like, it tastes like dog crap or whatever. Do you remember that?
Right.
And he's like, well, you're just not evolved. You're not smart enough to taste it.
Exactly.
That's what
exactly
I'm doing.
Right, yeah. It looks stupid to us mere mortals.
Right.
Exactly.
But to the smart people out there.
The smart people.
Yes.
Yeah. So I guess, Scott, that puts us below 120 IQ, I'm sorry to say.
Damn it.
I know. It's okay.
That's not true. I refuse to believe that.
Anyway, switch to Firefox or above, people. Come on. Yeah, no more IE. No more old
school
IE.
Get in the game, folks.
I got to say, still, it's amazing, though. And obviously, the true takeaway from this, it doesn't have anything to do with IQ. It just has to do with people that, just aren't engaged on those levels with that kind of stuff. Because you go to any kind of workplace that is still running XP, and there are lots of offices that still have that as an installed thing. You know, they just don't bother changing from it. You know, why bother? You know,
right. Yeah.
Even though it drives me mad.
Me too.
Yeah.
We had a friend that was like that until you showed him how to install Chrome, if you recall recently.
Oh, yes, that's right. That's right. That's the thing too. It was like, we can't go into this at work. We can't do it. I'm like, they won't know. Just go ahead and do it anyway.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, holy crap. Like this
just changed everything.
This has changed my universe daily. We're like, oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what that means? His IQ just jumped up 30 points as well.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah. Very proud of him.
We should let him know. Actually, no, we shouldn't.
Does he listen to the show?
Sometimes. You know who you are.
We should tell him to not listen to this episode. Anyway.
Why don't we do my phone next week?
Okay. Scott got a new phone. We always like to talk about the new shiny.
I'm kind of a phone junkie, I have to say.
You're a phone crack whore, to be honest.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
I am. I got the – I'll tease it just for a second. And we'll do like a full review next week. But I got
the – Because I want you to have proper time to do this.
Yeah, do like a whole full thing. So I got the MyTouch 4G Slide from T-Mobile. It's a HTC slider phone. It's their new phone that came out. Dual core processor. 8 megapixel camera, super LED screen. It's a beautiful phone. One of the biggest advantages of this phone is the camera that it comes with. It has some amazing features. No shutter lag, photo taking, panorama view, photos built in, burst shot. It's great.
So Scott doesn't like it.
Yeah, no, it's terrible. So I will get into all of those specifics next week.
We are all about the new shiny.
Always. Always. So I do have a little bit of food, not a crazy amount, but this is food that everyone in the country can relate to because they have restaurants all over the country. I'm slumming a little bit in this week's food segment.
Are you going to do an Olive Garden segment?
Yeah, no. close. So there's a restaurant called Banderas, which is it's the Hillstone Corporation. They have Houston's and Banderas all around the country, and they have a new restaurant called Hillstone, which is Houston's basically rebranded. But I went to Banderas what day are we on? I don't remember.
It's Sunday.
Oh yeah, Sunday. We normally record Saturday. I was a little confused. So I went Saturday, and I don't know if you've ever – have you been?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a nice restaurant. Yeah. It's actually just a little nicer than Houston's. Houston's is nice and you know, the food is typically good. But had an interesting kind of experience. Yeah,
the one there. Over near Westwood makes a very good vodka tonic.
Do they?
They do indeed.
This one has a very nice bar. It's a nice atmosphere. I mean, I really like their restaurants in general, you know, for a mid-range, just, you know, good meal. One thing that they do at their restaurants drives me up the wall. And maybe I'm in the wrong.
Does this have to do with the water?
No,
okay.
But you can talk about that. I'll let you talk about
that. No.
That
was like I'm referring to your other review where you had the water thing.
No. They do not let men wear hats in their restaurants. Now, I'm going to assume that this concept – I mean, they haven't let hats for a long time at the restaurants always. Like if you walked in with a baseball hat, they made you take it off. They've been doing this for a long time. Prior to there really ever being fedoras back in style and any of that stuff. So my guess, and I could be wrong, but there is to me no other reason that they would have implemented this except that they didn't want people wearing baseball caps in the restaurant. Now, even if you're wearing a nice fedora or a nicer hat, they still make you take it off. And I wear those often. And it drives me crazy. I hate it. I hate it because I know that the reason was not because of those kind of hats. And they haven't changed their policy.
In Mad Men, when they go inside, do they take their hats off?
I believe they probably do. It's etiquette. It is etiquette to do that. I don't think it's a rule normally.
Okay, my point's made.
But it is etiquette to do that.
Whatever Mad Men does with hats is correct.
I'd have to find out like exactly, but I think they do. But you know what then? If you're going to make me do that, provide me with somewhere to put my hat.
That's a fair concession.
And they don't.
They should provide hat hooks.
Yes, yes.
Or a hat rack.
Or a hat rack. I agree. That's one thing that annoyed me. The other thing that annoyed me,
So wait, are we agreed? You concede that the hat request is reasonable, but they should provide some sort of rack or
I think
or,
it's
or
normally reasonable, but I think the reason it was originally implemented did not take into account these hats, and I just don't think they changed their policy.
But no,
I really think that's what it was.
Either way, I think the proper – I mean, I realize that you're a hipster with your fedora.
I am not a hipster.
You're a Scott Gold is a big old
with
hipster.
No way. I care how I look.
He wears skinny jeans. He has them
now. Oh, God, no.
And he wears a fedora with skinny jeans, and he has a funny mustache.
Yeah, my Superman t-shirt and cargo pants right now.
His ironic Superman t-shirt.
Nothing ironic
along
about
with his,
this.
Along with his skinny jeans and his fedora he's wearing right now.
This is a tribute to me finishing Smallville.
We call Scott the Hat in our circles.
Really?
No, but I'm going to start now.
No, don't start that. I don't like that.
Scott the Hat Gold.
Oh, boy.
Can we call you Hattie?
So I'll get on to the food.
Hattie Gold?
Please, no. Please don't.
That's been the new sign-off.
Hattie Gold.
I'm Brian. I'm Hattie. Ew, thanks for joining us.
That's a girl's name.
No, that's Hattie. You're Hattie.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hattie Gold.
No.
Be like Natty Gold?
No. You're just going horrible nicknames
I
here.
Love all these names for you. These names are fantastic.
How about Scott?
Scotty Hattie Gold?
Oh, God.
Okay, so back to the hat. Hat's good.
Back to the food. Back to the food. So they have a good cheeseburger at Banderas. They have a great cheeseburger at Houston's that I really like. So we went to order. I ordered a cheeseburger. One of the girls I was with also ordered a cheeseburger. And we looked across from us at people that were dining. And the cheeseburger was on almost like a French roll. Mm-hmm. And she said, the girl I was with specifically asked the waitress, is this how the burgers come? And she goes, no, she must have ordered that special. They come on a regular bun. Great. So we're both like, perfect, let's order the burger. So we order the burgers. Then they come out on the French roll, like cut into threes. So a burger, like burger patty, cut into threes on a French roll. And we both look at each other going, did we not just have this conversation? Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, and she tried to kind of disguise her mistake, and she's like, that's weird, I've never seen them come out that way, it's really strange. And and then she goes away, and she comes back, and she's like, oh, we ran out of the bread to make these and blah blah blah. I gotta tell you, it was so difficult to eat this burger. I mean, it was, imagine like a burger cut into like one of those big Subway sandwiches.
Yeah.
Like that you get at office parties. That's how it was cut. It was impossible to eat. I mean, the burger tasted good. It was fine,
that's weird.
I don't know. It pissed me off. What can I say? It just annoyed me. But they did redeem themselves at the end of the meal. They redeemed themselves at the end of the meal with the dessert. They had a fresh peach and blueberry cobbler with ice cream.
That sounds good.
I mean, come on. It perfect seasonal blueberries and peaches. Peach season going on right now. It was warm and delicious. I mean, full, fresh peaches and awesome ice cream and, just a nice baked crumble on top. So Banderas, they had a little save at the end. But in general, I was a little upset because I do like the restaurant and it's normally very good.
You know what I love is that there is no middle ground with Scott Gold. There is only passionate love or furious anger.
For food.
Yeah. You're like Anakin Skywalker. You're either really, really angry.
But for other stuff, I'm not like that. Like for movies and stuff, I have a middle ground. But and TV shows. But food's got to be good.
You're pretty binary on movies, too.
I like a lot of stuff.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's like you're always like, it's good.
Right. Well, I'm saying
in movies, you're always like, I love it or it's good. There's very rarely a you hate unless it's. It's Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Or Transformers.
Wait, no. Clarify.
Three. Transformers 3 and 2. 2 and 3.
I hate 1 through 3.
I just hated 2 and 3. I really liked 1.
And yes, this actually is a longstanding argument that we have about what is, you know, are all bad or is just, you know, 2 and 3 bad.
Yeah. Well, on that note.
The 3D in 3 was great.
It was pretty amazing. It was
best 3D.
And maybe we'll talk about 3D technology one day because it's pretty cool stuff.
We better talk about it soon because I feel like it's going away quickly.
I don't think it's going away, but that's a conversation for another show. And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks for joining us this week. If you'd like the show, don't forget to rate us on iTunes. It's the best way for us to go and find new listeners and spread the word.
And please, you know, tell your friends, tell your family, let everybody know that you like our show.
Yeah. We're at techbacon.net, on Twitter at BC Bishop.
At Scotty G7.
I'm Brian.
I'm Scott.
Take care.
Boogity, 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 amen. Ooh, that was good.